Thursday night's basically what we call right now New England School of the Bible. We have several media presentations in several states, or at least in two states, I should say, in several different areas of the state, and some places we don't know about, where we're linked up and seen in other places. We know we have some viewers watching us in Boston. I'm not sure where they're picking us up from. But the Thursday night service is the same name as some of those programs you see out there, the New England School of the Bible. If you're out there and you'd like to come study the Word of God with us, basically we spend about an hour with a biblical approach and a practical approach to the Word of God. Nothing over your head, nothing real deep, just truth. Amen, just truth. And I say practical approach because I'm not one of those deep thinkers. That's the only way I know how to do it. And so I don't, you know, I go to Bible studies where these people that are real knowledgeable in history and know how to spit out those words and know all the, you know, the various commentators' opinions that have lived through the various centuries and know what the correct pronunciation of all the Greek and the, all the Hebrew should be. And they just bore me to death. I'd like rather hear somebody with no education. Don't know how to say them their words all that good. That has the Spirit of God. That knows what we need to know. Because the way of the world is not the way of God. And everybody's trying to go up some other way besides God's spiritual way is having a struggle, I guarantee you, because you can't figure out God. You can't figure out His Word. You cannot teach His Word unless Jesus Christ Himself is teaching through you. And that's how we do it here. Amen. That's how we do it here. So we don't go into a lot of deep philosophy or a lot of things that might be considered as the practical or as the way to do things. Not that we're against educated approaches and scholarly views. I think that's all real good. I'm just kind of backing up what I said. I'm not a deep thinker. And with these words, to let you know, you don't have to be one that is eloquent in the words or that knows all the histories or all the original writings. You just need to be a child of God. And then be sincere as you look at the Word of God. Sometimes you find things that all these centuries of searching, people have overlooked them because they've been there all the time, but God has revealed it to us shallow thinkers, to us babies, to us people that can't talk pain sometimes, you know, to us that may not have what the world would look on as necessary to qualify us to do what we're about to do right now. Amen. I'm going to open the Word of God and read some words while you can just remain seated in the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. God has put certain gifts in the church. And the gifts I want to talk to you about tonight are gifts that are connected with God's ability to speak to mankind. Amen. God's ability to speak to mankind. And I'm going to sort of start off with the ending and then go back and work myself back to this. But I want to start in verse 7 in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, concerning these gifts that I'm talking about. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave. Everybody say he gave. So here's where these are the gifts that we're going to be referring back to later. And he gave some apostles. So the apostles that he gave is something that was given by God, so that's a gift. And some prophets, God has given us a gift of some prophets. And some evangelists, he has given us some evangelists. And some pastors, your pastor is a gift of God to you. And teachers, these are gifts from God, from Jesus Christ. And these gifts are for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth are from this time forward, that we be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait. They lie in wait to deceive. And that's the way it's always been ever since the world was contaminated by the failure of man. Amen. Now let's go back to the beginning. God speaks to Adam. And I just want to mention that God walked with Adam in the cool of the day. He talked with Adam, and Adam was able to communicate with his Creator. And everything was okay between Adam and God. There was no sin. What we have to deal with today, like we have to deal with today. Today, when a preacher preaches, there is a whole lot of competition. Amen. When the word comes forth, even if it's coming from an apostle of the Lord, there are thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of opinions to try to offset that and make it seem that it's not what you should hear. Adam didn't have to deal with all that. Amen. He just had God and God alone as he walked in the cool of the garden. Wouldn't that be a beautiful experience? To be able to just walk with God and hear him speak to you, comfort you, and be your friend. Amen. There was some interference that did come along that caused a big problem in the garden. And that's things that do get big always had a small beginning. And so the ability of God to deal with man, it may seem very small since it was just God and Adam, but that was how it all started out. God talking to man. And then the distraction came. And the other spirit that God had dealt with and continued to deal with, not that it was in competition with God. God is in full power and authority 100% of the time. He never has a problem with the devil. But the devil has a problem with God. And Satan cannot do anything without God allowing it to happen. This is not a, as some people try to make it seem, a God versus the devil contest, and we'll see who wins at the end. It's not like that at all. It's already settled. God is in full control, and there are no devils, no demons, no amount of evil powers or anything that ever has been that in any way can affect or change God or cause God to be frustrated, or cause God to walk the floor with his head down wondering what to do. Amen. So it started off in a small, seemingly beginning, in the cool of the garden, in the evening, God, Adam, having communication. Adam could talk to God, and God could talk to man. Then the distraction came, and Satan dealt with humanity on the humanity side. He's already been dealt with by God, and all he's got really left to come against the ways of God is what God has allowed him to be able to have freedom to do, knowing that in the end there will be a people of God serving God because they chose to, and no amount of influence, no matter how big it would be and no matter what century or how many ways it would come at you would not stop you from being able to find the true voice of God and to find what God would want you to do. One good thing about it, that the people of God, who are really the people of God, wanted to be people of God before they got here. You don't just stumble into this and just accidentally become a child of God. And you can forget all that junk and garbage you hear out there about you can just honk your horn and that'll save you, as long as you're honking it because you're saying in your heart you believe in Jesus. Or you can just raise your hand and profess Christ and you can accept Christ as your Savior. That's easy to listen to, and it sounds really good, and it's very convenient, but it won't work. But those are distractions that have been added to all the distractions through the centuries and through the millenniums, and to tell man that there's an alternative viewpoint, and there are hundreds and thousands of different ways, and you go your way, I'll go my way, but we'll all be okay, because what really matters is if you're sincere. That's not what God's Word says. Amen. God didn't choose by the foolishness of sin or by the honesty and the sincerity of people to save them. However, if you're honest and sincere, you can certainly be saved. And you got a plus going for you there if you're honest. Amen. You got something good to carry along the way when you talk to God. It's better to talk to God if you're trying to be honest. And it's better to approach God if you're sincere. I promise you that. Amen. I pulled out the wrong notes, so I'm still looking for them. Here they are. Okay. So that was Adam. He heard from God. And then there was something trying to stop that. You don't have to listen to God, that voice. You don't have to do it His way. There's another way. Amen. Real small. Just real small. But then as man multiplied, God did not withdraw His ability to speak. He continued to speak. And He had people through the ages that He chose to work through. And when they spoke to other people, it was actually God speaking to mankind. Hallelujah. So God had a plan, and He knew where He was going. And nothing was going to stop it. Amen. Everybody say, nothing was going to stop it. You don't stop God, who created everything. And He created everything for His own purpose. And according to His own will, for His own pleasure. Amen. And He had a reason for it from beginning to end. He saw the end from the beginning. He knew what it would be like when He would finish it. And there would be no amount of distractions or things that are really complicated, no matter how many people would come upon the face of the earth, no amount of negative coming against God's plan would stop it from coming to pass. And God has always used the spoken word and the written word to deal with humanity. Hallelujah. He chose Abraham. He spoke to him, and He spoke through him. Amen. Now, I've never had God speak to me in the way that He probably spoke to Abraham. I've tried to get God to do that because I can visualize that God actually spoke in a way that Abraham actually heard His voice. Because, you see, there weren't a whole lot of preachers around during those days. And in order to get things going in the way that God wanted them to go, He deals with humanity in a way of understanding, and if He doesn't have a mouthpiece or somebody to do the talking, God Himself can break that barrier. Amen. And I don't know for sure, but I think Abraham heard the audible voice of God. Whether or not he did doesn't matter. He did hear God speak to him. Just like all those animals that got on that boat also heard God speak to them. And it didn't have to be an audible voice of God. It was just an awareness that God said, do this, and I've got to do it. Amen. So however God did it, it got done. God spoke to Abraham, And he told him things. He said, I'm going to do this for you, and I'm going to do this because Abraham was his friend. Abraham had faith. He believed in God. Probably very few people in his day actually believed that God could be trusted, could be somebody that you could just count on to be your friend. But somehow in this evil generation that Abraham lived in, he was looked upon by God himself as a friend that he could talk to. Hallelujah. Because he believed in God and had faith in God. No matter what else is going on, God saw that. And so God chose Abraham. And I would believe, I can't give you all the scriptures that would say this. Maybe nobody else can. But I honestly believe that probably the best person on the face of the earth, as far as best person, meaning that God saw in all the human race that had the most faith, confidence, and trust in God on that day that God dealt with Abraham, that the only one that even came close to being what God was looking for was Abraham. Because if there had been anybody else, I believe God would have chosen that one. Because he wants the best of the best. Praise God. And I believe you might ask, why did Abraham, you know, why did that particular race of people, why were they chosen of God? Why didn't he choose some other race or some other group of people to bless and to multiply and to give all these promises to? Well, I suppose if anybody else had had faith and trust on the face of this earth, that was even just slightly more than what Abraham had, the whole Bible would be written different and promises would have been made to the descendants of that individual, because God was not looking just to bless one certain race or one certain tribe or one certain people, but God was looking to, through His Word, to accomplish His plan. And He was going to do it with trust and with faith and with obedience. And Abraham was the one that he saw that he could talk to and talk through. Praise God. Amen. The descendants of Abraham and the people on the face of this planet multiplied and they multiplied. Amen. And of course, I could talk about Noah. God had chosen Noah way back, you know, and there was no... There was evidently nobody else, or God would have chosen. And the proof of that is, when the flood came, just Noah and his family were on board. Now, of all the inhabitants on the face of the earth, evidently, the only person that really had more faith, more grace, more ability, more trust, more knowledge, or whatever it was, or obedience, or being humble, whatever God saw, the only one that fit that bill the most had to be Noah, because everybody else died. And whether somebody else is qualified or not, Noah's the one that ended up being the one that God spoke through, telling all the people, you need to get on the boat. Hallelujah. And whether we think somebody's holier than somebody else, or somebody has an answer or doesn't have an answer, no matter how many distractions and no matter how many things come against it to try to prove you wrong, amen, it pays to listen to somebody that's doing the impossible, amen, speaking with sincerity and loyalty to the Almighty God. At least it's good to check them out and see if this could be God speaking to me. Amen. God's people always are involved in doing the impossible. That's the way it works. Everything that you can read in the Bible concerns God's calling and God's direction takes somebody from where they are into a direction of, I don't know where I'm going. And I don't know how I'm going to get there. And I don't have what it takes to do this. It's always impossible. Amen. But the people that God speaks through after He has spoken to them, they have listened and learned to communicate with God, are able to put that trust and that confidence and that faith consistently, going all the way back to the days of Noah and then the days of Abraham and the days of the prophets, willing to put things aside and say, all right, God, I need to hear from you. And here's my mouth, use it. Here's my ability. Here's my life. If you need me, Lord, to speak, I'll speak. If you need me to go, I'll go. If you need me to do something, I'll do it. But I can only do these things, Lord, if you give me the ability. And if you tell me to do it, then I will trust in you to give me that ability to get it done because I don't have it. It's impossible. Hallelujah. That's just the way it works. And all these people with all these books of credentials and all these tabloids of qualifications of where they have been and what they have done to qualify them to be a spokesman on behalf of God. If I were you, I would be just a little leery of all that. Just as they're a little leery of all this. Amen. Because if somebody has qualified himself or has credentials from people who have received that person's money in order to educate that person on the things of God, if they finally get that degree and they have that ability, according to the judgment of man, to be God's spokesman, you need to make sure that you carefully listen to what they have to say, because there may be a lot of educated truth and a lot of really, really sophisticated putting things together that make a lot of sense. But every once in a while, you can find out that there is a problem. Because somewhere in the midst of this, many times, of all this preparation and all this trying to be able to be qualified so that you can do this work, it comes out, it's revealed, because the words that are spoken are not according to the full Word of God. And a lot of times we can find that the greatest interference coming against the truth of God is coming in what they call churches. These places that have steeples where people gather and they sing songs about Jesus. They open their Bibles and they read the Word. And many times they have hanging on their walls the reason why they're qualified to do what they do. And the reason they were voted in to do this job is because of these qualifications. And without those qualifications, they would not be allowed to do these things. And so they have these people there wanting to hear from God, but they want God to say what they want to hear. Amen. If God doesn't say what they want to hear, then that preacher's the wrong preacher. If he happens to say something that God wants them to hear, whether they like it or not, hey, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be trouble in Dodge City. Amen. There's going to be a lot of people dodging. Amen. Because God's got them marked, and He's not going to like that. You tell people that God said so and so, and you teach them a way to go, and it's not of God, there's going to be trouble in the land. It may not happen right then, but it'll happen. Amen. It'll happen. So God chose through all these early people. He spoke to them and spoke through them. And then He spoke through the prophets. And the prophets are in the Bible. And He speaks to us in the Bible by these holy men of old that were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. That Holy Ghost that moved upon these prophets that have words recorded in the Bible that came to them and through them to all of us centuries later. This is the Word of God. Amen. God still speaks to humanity. And that Holy Ghost that moves upon them to speak is the same Holy Ghost that moves within us and yet speaks. It's big. It's real big. Amen. Everything, I mean, it started small, but it's really big because God was just as big then as He is now. But there weren't many people at first. Amen. So it started small, just God and a man, and then just God and another man, and another man, then a few men, and a few people, and a few men, and a few women, and a few this and that. But when it was really God, things really happened. Praise God. And so those who would hear the voice of God would have to hear it many times through a person who had been given as a gift of God for that group of people, because rather than God choosing to speak audibly himself, he gave gifts unto men. And he said, I'm going to give you somebody that's obedient to me, who listens to me, who will trust in me as an example. Somebody that you can follow and you can see how they live and how they trust, how they exercise faith in God, and not just the words they say, but they will speak to you in the life they live. That's what Jesus was all about. I mean, we came through all these writers of old, all these prophets prophesying about that one that is to come, because God knew where he was going, and he knew where the Savior would be planted. He knew where the Savior would die for the sins of humanity, and he knew where the Savior would be resurrected. It was all in God's plan. From the very foundation of his whole creation, God had all this mapped out. Amen. I don't believe in predestination as far as God, before he made man, chose Abraham. But I believe that after Abraham was born, there came a time when Abraham chose God. And thus, he was chosen of God. God's predestination, the kind of predestination I believe, is what God teaches in the Bible. It is predestined that God will have a people. God will have a church. There will be a Savior. And there will be a people serving this Savior as a result of coming out of sin. That's predestined, and it can't be changed. The victory is predestined. Amen. The end being people worshiping God forever and having eternal, wonderful experience that never gets dull, never gets boring, but always having a wonderful time throughout eternity. That is predestined to happen, and nothing can stop it. Hell is also predestined to happen, and everything that's ever tried to stop this, amen, will be there. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, it could be that some people were used to try to stop this, and they may not be in hell. Amen. But everything that, when I say everything that tried to stop this, I'm talking about spirits of opposition that many are yielding to, and many of you once yielded to. But that didn't cause you to go to hell. But I promise you, those spirits that you once yielded to will not be with you in heaven. Hallelujah. Because you cast those devils out before you ever got victory in your life, or that came when you got the victory. It all happened right then, because Jesus will not occupy a human life as long as that life is yielded to any other spirit. Amen. Because whatever spirit is there, that's your God. Whatever you're serving, you can't serve two masters. You're going to have one master now and no others. But when your master is Jesus, when your master is God, amen, there are no others. And if there was another one there before, that other one is out of your life and can't come back unless he overpowers Jesus to get there. And they're not going to be able to do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the prophets were moved on by the Holy Ghost, and they wrote and spoke. But when they did, it was actually God. But when you looked at them, if you had lived then, if you'd seen them, it just looked like people. And they had human voices. They sounded, you know, they'd get hoarse and they had a cold. They didn't have divine flesh. They weren't immortal. They were just people who had whooping cough, pneumonia, measles, mumps. I suppose if a snake would bite them, it would cause them to get sick. Mosquito bites probably caused them problems. They'd itch. They were just people. All these prophets were people that went to the bathroom. But when they spoke, it was God speaking. When they got upset in their stomach, sometimes they'd regurgitate. All these things happen. Sometimes they needed a bath. But they were God's people. Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine that there were times when they didn't stand real close together back in those days. They didn't have soap like we have soap. They didn't have deodorant like we have deodorant. They didn't have perfumes like we have it. They had some of these things, but not like we have it. I mean, we have... Now, I know there are churches. I came across a group in Memphis, Tennessee, that didn't believe in anything. They didn't believe in deodorant. They didn't believe in toothpaste. They didn't believe in soap. They didn't believe in anything that came in a bottle or a can. They didn't believe in going to the hospital. Don't even take an aspirin. Don't take any kind of medicine whatsoever. They didn't believe in... the list goes on. They didn't believe in gospel music, Christian music of any kind. You could not listen to it. Because it's possible that some of that music would have something that's not according to their belief in it. I don't know if they're still around, but I do remember this about them, because they visited the church that I was a part of at that time. And for some reason, that little group of people all sat together and everybody else was in a different part of the building. You know, it's like they were over here. And but I can tell you, if you got close to them, you'd have a better understanding why it was like that. Because we're in a civilization today that's pretty much spoiled to thinking we're supposed to smell good. And I'm glad we are. I'm glad we are. I'm glad that God gave us direction in His Word where we don't have to get confused with distractions like that. That is just as simple and just as wrong to require people to do all those things and consider that as part of God's plan of salvation and teach it to be so. That is just as much a sin as not even living for God at all. If I teach you, thus saith the Lord, you cannot, women, you cannot ever do certain things, and I could name a whole list of things that we're all coming with. If I were to stand here and teach you that if you do that, you're going to hell. Now, I'm going to surprise you a little bit right now. I'm going to say this, but please, people, even though some of you are going to lie about me, and some of you are going to say I've compromised, and some of you are going to say I shouldn't have said this, I'm going to say it and go ahead and let you tell these lies. And we'll sort it out later and we'll find out who wants to believe the truth. But not every woman that puts on a pair of pants is on her way to hell. And not every woman that wears earrings is hell bound. And not every woman that cuts her hair is on her way to hell. Now, all those that just turned me off, they're going to go out there and tell all kinds of lies. Now, all you that are still with me, you stay here so you can help me straighten out their lies, okay? Hallelujah. And if I get up here and tell you the plan of salvation is repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, but in order to be saved, women, you cannot wear pants, you cannot wear earrings, or you'll split hell wide open. I have miserably, miserably added to the Word of God and added something to God's plan of salvation that is not written. But I can speak on behalf of God as a gift that God has given to you, and measuring the Word with the Word itself and go back from Genesis to the end and to Revelation, and I can find the scriptures and in the prayers and in asking God to give me the word to say that comes from God and not from me, I can find where anything that a woman wears that pertains to a man is an abomination to God. And when God spoke that to His spokesman, through that spokesman to the people of God, it was the same God we serve today, saying that for a woman to wear that which pertains to a man, and for a man to wear that which pertains to a woman, is an abomination to God. Now, if that was an abomination to God, then if I were a woman today, I wouldn't even wear ladies' slacks. Because I sincerely, dearly want to please God. And if there's something that I can choose to do that never has been an abomination to God, I'm going to choose that. And I'm not going to make excuses. It's the unisex age. Because God's not impressed with unisex. God's not impressed with my choice of why I do it, regardless of what God said at any point in His Word. We can also come up with excuse, well, that was in the Old Testament. Well, the God of both Testament is the God that we're trying to please and serve today. And you may not be offering up sacrifices of goats and bulls and lambs and turtle doves and pigeons. You may not be killing animals in order to send your sins forward. But what all that was sent forward to was the old rugged cross. And we do have a sacrifice, and blood has been shed to cover a multitude of sins. But the law that was written became a law that God put in our hearts. And we should know when we transgress God, if we are living for God, hearing from God, trusting in God, having faith in God, and you shouldn't have to be told what you should or should not wear. But if I do have to tell you, I'm going to say you women should not wear pants. But I'm not going to tell you that it's the plan of salvation, but it may be. And if I were you, I would never put one stitch of clothes on that looked anything like a man's clothes. But if you do, that's between you and God. I won't hold it against you. We're not going to put a list of rules on the wall saying, thou shalt not ever wear trousers. Amen. Or if you men start wearing little necklaces and earrings and things. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to hell if you wear these things, but I'm just saying to you that most of society that put on these things a few years ago, it would have never been dreamed of that any man or boy would ever wear a earring. When I was young, it was never seen. Those were only on women. But you know, since those days, there have been a whole lot of this equal rights, give this alternative life a chance. We should be able to even get married. That's what they're talking about today. And they're doing it in some places. It doesn't matter anymore. Men can be with men. Women can be with women. There is no difference. This is a new age. It doesn't matter what God said. That's a distraction from the true Word of God. And if I wanted to serve God, whether I be man or boy, I would consider, do I have to have those things? Would I be willing to give some of this stuff up to serve God? You know, when you give these things up, you're actually making a dedication and a surrender to God, saying, Lord, this is a token of my obedience and my sincerity and my willingness to get rid of something I don't have to have. And I certainly don't want to displease my God. And even if it's not a sin, putting it down will bring you a blessing. Hallelujah. I don't use the scripture that women should not wear lipstick because Jezebel was one that did those things. But, and I'm not here to talk about these things. I'm just telling you that if I were to say, ladies, you should never put lipstick on your lips. I have the right to say that. I am a gift of God to speak on behalf of God. And there's no Bible anywhere, even though you say, there's nothing in the Bible that says we can't wear lipstick. There's also nothing in the Bible that takes away God's plan to give me as a gift to you to tell you you shouldn't do it. And when I say you shouldn't do it as your pastor, there are reasons behind it. And it doesn't have to be written in the Word. But I'm not going to tell you if you happen to put it on one time that you're going to hell because of it, because that's God's plan of salvation. No, we don't go over that line. But you also should not go over the line of disobeying the spokesman that puts his britches on one leg at a time. But when I speak as your pastor, this is God. And anybody out there that doesn't understand that and you want to say, I said I'm God, okay, go ahead, we'll straighten it out later. But the pastor that is given you to speak tonight is just as much God speaking to you as it was when God spoke to Noah and said, get on the ark. Hallelujah. If that's not so, then you need to find a man of God in your life that can talk on behalf of God for you, because you're in trouble. You're in bad trouble if you don't have a pastor that can speak to you and it be God speaking. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And what you're able to do, you're able to take the Word of God and you're able to compare that Word of God. But you should never compare it or look at it with a motive or an intent of destroying what God has given you. You should never go through the Word of God trying to find fault because you're not having things said the way you want it said. It's not coming. I mean, God sometimes speaks straight and strong, and He uses the ministry to do these things, and it may be somebody you know that sits around with a t-shirt on and his teeth out. In the daytime. That goes to church with a suit on and his teeth in at night and says, "I'm telling you, thus saith the Lord." But even if you come to that man with his t-shirt on in the middle of the day when he's just waking up after being up all night, and you say, "I'm trying to hear from God," and suddenly the man opens his gums and says, "Let me tell you what God said. Now, you can hear it or not hear it, you can obey it or not obey it, you can do it or not do it, but this is the will of God concerning this matter." You need to pay attention, because that's God speaking to you. And I want to tell you something. If you can hear from God too, and you go out and you're going to do it your way, no matter what the preacher said, you're going to fall on your face because you're in trouble. Because no matter how much you thought you heard from God, God's going to back the gift He gave to you, and He will annihilate anything you thought you heard, and let what He said to the ministry to you be what thus saith the Lord. Because God never fails to back His ministry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm not saying this because I'm Mr. Somebody and you're a little somebody down there somewhere. It's good for us to relearn over and over what the pastor, the evangelist, what the prophets, what the apostles, what this is all about. Noah, Abraham, God speaking through humanity to humanity to save humanity from humanity. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's okay for a ministry to teach things in a way that ends up with ladies looking like ladies and men looking like men and everybody wondering why they all do that. The reason they wonder is because they were not here. And they were not part of the growth of God speaking to this people. And so when they come among us, we, being the people of God who came from where they were and where they are, and once we were there too, we have patience toward them. And I can talk pretty much freely tonight because sometimes I don't like to say some of these things when certain people are trying to move forward, lest they be offended and not really understand, because sometimes a word from God is fitly spoken in a certain time when God has a certain people gathered together to hear this Word of God. Amen. And there are times when it needs not to be said because some people are not ready to hear it. It's not for them at this time, but there will come a time. And it'd be best for all of you who don't believe in certain things. I can name a lot of them. Earrings, lipstick, and a lot of other things. If you don't believe in it, you live your life. You keep your mouth shut. You obey God. You do what you know to do and let those others grow. And God will take care of this. Hallelujah. Because we're going to treat them just like we treated you. Somewhere along the way, something clicked inside of you as you heard the Word of the Lord. No rules, no legislation, nobody forcing you, nobody making you do anything. But you chose to give up some things, and you were blessed for doing it. Amen. And you continue to be blessed, and some of you would never go back to what you were doing before. Praise the name of Jesus. Let's thank the Lord. But the big deal is not the clothes. It's not the gold. There's really no difference in a ring on your ear and a ring on your finger. When you really get down to it, there's no difference. But it's what's in the heart that causes it to appear on the ear or the finger or not be there or to have a lot of them there. It's what's in the heart. And a lot of, you know, we can't put a blanket rule out there and say, hey, this is what you got to do or you're going to be lost. But what we can say, hey, there are certain things we need to consider. Pride needs to be considered. And trying to draw attention to yourself by the putting on of gold. When God wants the attention, if it's going to be drawn to you, to be drawn to a spirit that He's placed in you and not little decorations you put on your body. There are things in the Word of God about this, and I try to get them across, but they don't come across sometimes because there's too much interference and too many distractions out there. It tries to take it all away before we can get it spoken good. Hallelujah. But don't let your adorning be gold or the plaiting of hair or anything that you can wear or the wearing of clothes. Don't let that be the adorning that draws people to look your direction. Don't wear something that makes everybody say, oh, wow, look at you. But wear something that makes everybody say, oh, my, look at this God in your life. And sometimes what you wear can make a difference. What you put on can make a difference. If you look like the world, you act like the world, you go where the world goes, you dress like the world, you fix your hair like the fads of the world, you wear the things that the world thinks you gotta have, the little bracelets, the little earrings, and the women wearing the pants, and the men trying to look like girls. Hallelujah. Pretty soon, somebody's noticing how beautiful you are. And my, doesn't that look good on you? Oh, and God says, let your adorning be not that, but let it be the Spirit of God that draws people to God through you. Because just as God has given the gift to the church, through the ministry, to speak to you, when that minister speaks, it's God speaking. And when you speak to your neighbors and your friends, and you stand there, it's not just the words you say, but it's the Spirit that you're manifesting in what you do, how you are, what you wear, where you go, and what you refrain from doing. That's all God speaking to your friends. And how dare you let something come into your life that would be a distraction and cause them not to be able to hear from God. Hallelujah. After all you know, after all you've heard, and you go out there having God dealt with your heart, and you became His child, and then all of a sudden you go back to some of the ways of the world, and those people have been looking at you as an example of what God's people should be all about, even though they may not be serving Him, they see you, oh, that's... If there's anybody that's ever served... Let me tell you something. If there's anybody that's ever served God, that person is. Right now, Sister Jennifer, on her job, is working with people who have never been in this church. But if she would go to work tomorrow with her hair cut off short and a couple of earrings and some lipstick, she would disappoint everybody that works at that store. Now, they may never change, and they may never darken the doors of this church. But when Sister Jennifer talks to any one of them, she doesn't have to talk about God, she doesn't have to talk about the Bible, and she doesn't have to invite them to church. Her very appearance in their lives is God speaking to them. Hallelujah. And I have never told Sister Jennifer to not wear earrings or to not wear lipstick or to not do a lot of things. I think when she was younger, I hinted it would be better for her to wear a dress. Hinted rather strongly once or twice. Hallelujah. So I'm going to wind this up. God spoke through Jesus to His disciples. Amen. And they left all to follow Him. I don't think they followed Him because of what He had on, because of the way He looked. In fact, the Bible says there was no beauty that we should desire Him. So it wasn't because of something beautiful. It was something else. Praise God. Amen. And this is the example we should follow. Don't try to have, build a following to yourself because of the way you fix yourself up. But fix yourself up. Praise God. The disciples became apostles on behalf of God to speak to the people. And when they spoke, it was God speaking. It was a word from God. When Matthew and Peter heard from God, God spoke to them through Jesus Christ, gave them instructions on what to do. Amen. When Matthew said, and it was recorded later, but when he said and wrote to go into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, he got that straight from God through Jesus. And when it appeared in the Bible, it was the Word of God for us to seriously consider and obey. When Peter spoke, and it was later recorded by Luke, to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sin, that was not just Peter speaking. Amen. He got those instructions from Jesus. And Jesus was speaking God to Peter. It was the Word of God, and it was the only thing that would work because it was God's plan, not man's plan. It may not have made a lot of sense to a lot of people, but it was God's way, and you have to repent, and you have to be baptized in Jesus' name, and you must receive the Holy Ghost, because without the Spirit of Christ, we're none of His. And the Spirit of Christ is the Holy Ghost. If you're none of His without the Holy Ghost, you can't be saved without the Holy Spirit in you. Now, I can say that, and I'm not outside of the Word of God. I might not be able to say pants alone will take you to hell, women, but I can tell you this, without the Holy Ghost, you won't go to heaven. Hallelujah. And I'm at the end of my notes, so don't worry. Just making sure I don't leave something out here. It was God speaking, and that brings him back up to God chose through the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. Hallelujah. So when the preacher preaches, if you believe, you can get on the ark and be saved. Hallelujah. You can go to heaven if you just take this as God dealing with me. And don't look at me just because I happen to be the one that's here. It's just a man, and you know me. Hey, look, if you've known me 20 years and I'm not your voice of God, then you need to go look for you a preacher. If you got to have somebody you don't know to preach, go find him, because your soul is at stake here. If you can't listen to this preacher, you need to figure out what to do to get yourself in line, because God's going to cut you off. God's going to cut you off. He does not allow people to go forward in His kingdom who won't listen to God. And God's choice is to give you a gift, and it happens to be your pastor. And no matter how you think you heard from God, make sure what you heard is in line with what the God that is in this preacher that you are listening to is saying. And if it's not in line, get rid of your belief and make sure that you line up as long as he's in the Word of God, or there's nothing in the Word of God to say he can't say this. And that's scripture too. If you can't find anything against it in the Word of God, the pastor has a right to say, "Thus saith the Lord," and let's do it this way, thus saith the Lord. And whether you can be convinced or not that came from God, you just try to get away and not go along with it, and God will show you that it's coming from God, whether God made it come from God after your disobedience or before your disobedience. Because if the speaker says it, and God chose through the foolishness of that preacher to say it, and that's God's voice talking to you, amen. Even if he got it when he was eating beans and it was just something that came when he dozed off in a dream, he's still your pastor. If you can't find something in the Bible against it, even if it seems silly, go along with it, because you'll be blessed for it. Because this preacher's not ever going to put on something on you that you cannot line up to. And if he does, seek after God and see what God would have you to do. And I promise you, it would never be rise up in rebellion. It would never be rise up in resentment. It would never be go around from house to house and try to spread bad news if you can get some people to agree with you against that man. That'll never be the way of God. Praise God. But if you can't take the heat, then you might have to get out of the oven. But I can say that freely tonight, because I don't think we got anybody here in that position. And if we had some real good tithe payers tonight, I'd have a real, you know, that were here that not wanting to hear these things, I'd have a real struggle trying to spit this out as easy as I am tonight. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together. Amen. Hallelujah. The words that I preach, or any man of God in truth preaches, will always be consistent with God's way of talking to Adam, to Noah, to Abraham, to the prophets, and talking about the things of God through the Bible, through the apostles, through Jesus, everything that's recorded, and everything that you know about in the Word of God. Whatever the preacher preaches will be in harmony with that. Will be in harmony with that. And for instance, if you disobey God, you're eating of the forbidden fruit, and you're going to be in trouble with God. And that truth has been established ever since the days of Adam, and it hasn't changed today. And if I say it, I'm saying it, but it's God that's speaking it, because it's still the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right. Let me read that scripture to close again that we started out with. Amen. Amen. And God gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him and all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual work, in other words, the effect of what God is doing, the effectual work, working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love.